In Fantasy Suites Week on The Bachelorette, Xavier blows his chance at being the Ratu to Charity's Andy. Joey's ATV sputters, but his post-hometown bounce back goes off without a hitch. Dutton continues his fairy tale run, and Aaron flies to Fiji and rises from the ashes. But if Dutton and Joey made his uphill battle too steep, it's all coming up on The Bachelor Zone.
Welcome to The Bachelor Zone.
Welcome back to The Bachelor Zone, your spin-free zone for hard-hitting Bachelor stats and analysis. I'm your host, Michael Wally. With me, as always, two of my dearest friends and your favorite Bachelor pundits and competitive speed dating experts. We've got Zachary Pike.
Hello, Michael Wally. Hello, America. Hello, those outside of America. How's it going?
And Daniel A. Duddy.
What up, sports fans? I feel like we've been doing this for like 8 years or something.
Yeah.
And like Zach found his like Hello America.
Ish. Yeah, I falter on it sometimes.
And I never found one, so you're trying out. Yeah. What up, sports fans?
We've been doing this 8 years, and you're caught off guard every time it comes to you.
Yeah, yeah. I like it.
I'm like, oh, no, it's my turn.
Yeah, it's kind of a meta game that's been going on the whole time. We're coming in hot with this one because we said fast and aggressive because this episode has a lot. We got a lot on the docket today to take care of.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
A lot of great action from this episode. Very compelling. We're really excited to talk about it, but not before we say a very special thank you to Scott D. He's our brand new patron over at Patreon.com. Thanks so much for joining us over there, Scott. If you don't know, that's where you get all your exclusive Bachelor Zone content, including Left Unsaid, where we get into all the hot topics that we don't have a chance to cover on the main feed. And for Scott and anyone who chooses to join, you're just on time for what I think is going to be a juicy one, a jiu-jitsu seat. That didn't work.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, if you listen to the show...
I like it.
You know, that's Duddy and I lost a bet to Zach, and the punishment was that we had to do a jiu-jitsu class. We have both paid the piper, Duddy on Friday with Pike. I did it last night here in Jersey City. You get to hear all about our trials and tribulations from that class that we took. Also, Gabby Windy, shocking Bachelor Nation. After dating 30 men, 3 months later, it turns out that she's dating a woman and she's very happy.
Yeah. A funny woman. Yeah.
A very funny woman. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about that over on patreon.com/.
Wait, what about Caitlin Bristow?
Oh, we got that
that's
news
right.
too to tell. We're just packed. We gotta pick up the pace. We're just packed.
We're
yeah, three we got
Patreon.
Both sides of it.
Oh my God.
We got a brand new happy couple, and we've got a couple that shocked everyone by breaking up with Caitlin
might
and Jason.
Might have to do a freaking two-parter.
Yeah.
So Patreon.
We'll cross that bridge.
Patreon.com/TheBachelorZone, where you hear us get into all of that. If you want to hear us get into our headlines for tonight, let's do that right now with our headlines brought to you by Fiji Wedding Grass Skirts. You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it. So it's looking like the championship is going to feature a Dutton versus Joey showdown that we've been predicting for weeks now. What we didn't see coming was that the title fight would include a third party on the card with Aaron Lazarus Bryant coming back from the dead at just the right time with a wrench in his hand. We'll talk about that shortly, but first, let's get into the crashing and burning of Xavier, who came into the state number two in the AP polls by knitting his way to Charity's heart, but whose championship hopes quickly unraveled last night when he admitted to Charity that he cheated on his ex, and he wasn't so sure he wouldn't do it again. So guys, give me your requiem for Xavier. He came in looking so promising, falls apart brutally. Where precisely did he go so wrong?
I think there was no fight in that dog. To sum it up, the biggest, when I looked at his eyes last night, his dead eyes at that dinner table, I think it was a matter of like he realized maybe it's hard. I have to look over all the game tape to really pinpoint the moment it happened. I would say maybe week 3/5, however you want to say it this season, mid-season point when he was just like, oh, you know what? I'm good. Maybe it might have been on the bus down to San Diego when he was knitting where he's just like, you know what? If this works out, great. If it doesn't, that's great, too. I'm pretty happy with my life how it is right now. Charity seems like a lot of work, maybe. You know, because there was a moment last night where you saw his eyes glaze over when she really started challenging him. And I'll talk more about this, I think, in a later segment. But, like, Charity was really going hard as if he had cheated on her. You know what I mean? Like, there was a lot of energy coming towards him. And when you don't have – you don't care that much to begin with, that kind of conversation is just going to end poorly in your favor because you're going to look like you don't care about it. You know? Like, in the one time you need to show some serious emotion and, like, chutzpah to defend yourself in these – like, against accusations of – the possibility of crimes in the future, like you need to go at that 100%, and he brought maybe 30% to it. It was like a kid trying to give like a current event report in class who just didn't even do the research.
Wait, it sounds like you're a little pro Xavier though.
We'll talk about it more later.
We'll talk about it right now.
All right. Well, I think Charity has a lot to process about whatever her last relationship was. I thought the last relationship ended a while ago, but then time is a flat circle nowadays, and I realize it probably ended fairly fresh when she went on The Bachelor.
Plus, so she dated the guy for 6 years, and he treated her like shit for almost the whole time.
Also, you realize time is a flat circle nowadays?
Yeah.
Nowadays?
Time seems to be going fast. I turned 35 last week. Things are going fast and down. It feels like I'm running down a hill faster and faster every day. Listen, Charity was obviously harmed and hurt badly by that last relationship. It sucks to be cheated on in that way. To then carry it over in such an aggressive way to her next relationship, it's one thing to say, this is a triggering thing for me, which she has in previous episodes. Like, I worry about this. But to go so hard on a guy who has yet to cheat on you as soon as you find out that he also cheated in the past, to me, I didn't make the connection, I think. And I think this is probably an unpopular opinion to a lot of America.
Oh, yeah.
But as someone who is like, hasn't shown her any real inkling to being someone who would cheat, she was surprised by the fact that he had cheated in the past, but that he brought it up to her in a truthful way. And instead of kind of rewarding that behavior as being like, wow, that's fucked up. Like, yeah, that's really triggering. I would prefer, you know, you not cheat on me. It seemed like it completely brought her back to where she was, to the point that she was might as well be talking to her ex. Like, she was just channeling her ex to Xavier. She was projecting everything she hated about her ex onto Xavier, and I don't think he showed all of those things.
I think
he's a dum-dum who didn't really care that much about Charity to fight those like accusations she was hurling at him. And like judging his character in the way she was, I don't think it was necessarily deserved to the point that like he's in the wrong too. I'm not defending him. I'm not trying to be a total devil's advocate here. I was just blown away by how triggered Charity was by this situation when he hadn't really done anything wrong yet. It'd be one thing if they were in a couple, like in a relationship after this is all ended, and he was acting in a way that her ex acted 100%, like on vacation with his boys and didn't return a text. Sure, then you get triggered. Just the thought of that possibly happening in the future got her to the place where she was like almost crying.
You just said he didn't show you an inkling. Did he show you an inkling when he said, and I quote, would it be hard not to cheat on you? Hell yeah, it would be. I'm not totally sure. Is that enough of an inkling for you? What are we talking about right now?
I might have been.
Zach, did you just cover me in Antarctica? Because that is a freezing cold take.
Honestly.
I might have been.
We're gonna lose everybody.
I might have been playing a little bit of Diablo 4 while that speech was going on, and I might have missed that one quote.
Listen. The devil's on his feet, applauding right now.
Yeah, all right.
The greatest devil's advocate like, I have out there.
Listen. Yeah, you're right.
No, I don't know. I think this is fun because I watched
it. In the wrong. I was just blown away by how pissed off Charity was. But then,
because she asked him and said, "Will you cheat on me?" Uh-huh. And he was like, "I'm probably gonna cheat on you."
He didn't go that far.
I'm probably gonna cheat on you.
He's like, man, all the temptation all right. out there. I gotta just shut the door. Like, of course he's going to.
I think he was trying I can't believe I got on this fucking defense team right now. So, I think. To try to get into his brain a little bit, to me, the way I read it, which is I was somewhat skimming, it seemed to me that he felt like he was trying to hypothetically explain to her the emotions a cheater would go through and why him understanding those emotions and understanding his triggers as to why he would do an irresponsible thing like that, he has learned how he cannot do it again, like how to not do it again. Right? Because I think that's sort of what the line of questioning was at that point.
Almost.
But what it came off as is, I don't know, maybe I'll cheat. So, yes, he did it poorly. He did a bad job. He's getting my marriage choked down, all right, guys? Like, relax a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's not about you.
I was just saying he... Jesus.
Zach, you're the mayor of Choketown.
You know what? I'm crawling out of this. Hold on a second. I'm shoveling upwards. I'm shoveling upwards.
I'm going to see you in this deep hole you're in now.
I thought it was interesting as how... To me, I'm like, oh, if you have this much sort of inherent jealousy and worry and insecurity about someone being unfaithful to you because of past relationships, good luck with any relationship you're in, right? Like, that's always going to be there, and you got to deal through that. You're going to eventually have to learn how to trust people when they show you, yes, when they show you something that makes you think, like, oh, this guy might be a cheater. She hasn't asked Dalton any of these questions yet. I don't know if Dalton has ever cheated on anybody.
But Dalton also hasn't come forward and said, just so you know, unprompted, I need to let you, like, in on the fact that I used to cheat.
Right. Yeah.
And then when she follows up and
he's
goes,
getting my mare of chokes out.
No, but well, I actually do want to talk about this, though, yeah, Zach, because okay. There was a part of me watching it before the total, like, absolute implosion. Him bringing it up already was lighting the fuse,
yeah.
Right? That was...
It came from a place of him trying to say that he's not a cheater now.
I think it came from a place of, you know, it was like dating terrorism. I don't know where it came from.
No.
I think he just jumped off a building.
No, I think it was him trying to be an honest, good person and not do the same thing over and over again. It came. What happened and what he was rewarded with was her being like, wait, are you a fucking cheater? And then that's when the dog in the fight didn't happen and he didn't know how to actually, like, he got spooked. He got the yips.
Because
then he said something stupid.
D.A., as we said, this is the greatest pain point from her most damaging relationship.
Yeah.
And there are people who are going to say, like, oh, what an idiot that he told her about that. Like, what mama don't know won't hurt her. He could have gotten away so easily.
Exactly.
That's sleazy to me. Like, I think by coming forward and being honest about it, especially given her history, that to me is playing the game the right way.
Yeah. I don't think any, like, the whole once a cheater, always a cheater thing, which I think is Charity's thought on the matter, is something I don't agree with. And that's probably where I am separate from her and maybe a chunk of the listenership in America. But
I don't think she has that mentality. Like,
you don't?
I don't think that's even fair. I think she actually, I think she was begging for him to dig himself out of it. I think she was rooting for him.
If she says
every chance that available at every time.
I agree. If she, Duddy, wager right now. If she says once a cheater, always a cheater during the men's tell-all, you have to sign up for a year of jiu-jitsu.
No. I'm not doing random wagers.
I think it's going to happen.
I'm not falling for
I think that is
I
how she feels.
I could probably make it through a day.
That's what I was trying to say. I think that's how she feels, and that's why she went so hard on him instead of just being like, I guess thank you for being honest. You know that I have a big issue with that. Would you ever cheat on me? In which case, he should have said, absolutely not. I would never do that to someone like you.
Here's what I saw. I saw him bring up... I see there is a world in which him bringing it up could have been okay.
Yeah. If he hadn't have said dumb shit immediately after.
Right, but she kind of... And, like, she kind of said to him, like, I'm looking for ways, like, how have you grown from this?
Yes.
That was her question.
Yes.
And he responded with introspection.
Yeah.
Which, okay, that's the start. And he goes, oh, I think about these things sometimes. But then he says, like, so now when I'm, you know, with the boys on an island or whatever the hell, you know, and spring break, and the door closes,
right.
I can help control myself. Or I know what to do, but it's kind of worrying, one, why is he with the boys and the door closing when you're, you know, in a committed relationship with someone? What does that even mean when you have that mentality?
Yeah, the wording was bad.
I think it was beyond the wording. I think this is a person who, like, probably will cheat again.
Okay.
That does feel
he
like...
He has to shut the door to get women out of his sight in that spring break scenario. That's what he's saying.
That's what he's trying to say, yeah. He's trying to say, my boys are having a weird, debaucherous sex party in the living room. I'm going
and
into
I'm
the
room. Tempted.
But I'm closing the door because I'm moving past that. Now, there's lots of things to unpack that are bad in that sentence and in that hypothetical. But where his heart was at was, I'm trying to explain to this lady...
Why I won't be faithful.
Why I will be faithful.
But he...
And he
when
failed.
She said, will you be faithful? He was like, I don't know. So that's like
he
the
said
thing.
Yes, in a very roundabout way.
He said yes if... like, but it's
I'll try.
He said, I'll try.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think...
Which
so to me, maybe this is the difference for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thrust of Xavier's argument, and this is, I think, the best intentioned version I can give it, is he goes, if you're the right person, I will be faithful to you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or can we all agree that that's
basically
that's paraphrasing, what he said. But that's what he said, yeah.
He said, yes, if you choose me and I choose you and you're the one, then, like, that's why this is so hard for me, because I am faced with so much temptation, and temptation is hard for me, and if you are that special to me, if we know this is right, then I will be able to commit. Right?
Yeah, agreed. More or less.
But I think I think that's a fundamental flaw.
Yeah.
With how he's looking at fidelity.
No, it's stupid and bad. Yeah,
because
I agree.
Because that's like it shouldn't be that. That's like when you make a commitment to someone, you should just be faithful, whether or not. Like that's basically saying like because he talked about when he was unfaithful. He said, well, like, things were hard in the relationship. She couldn't be who I wanted her to be. And I think what happens is, yes, like, in a relationship, a lot of times, things are not going to go the way you want them to go. That's where the faithfulness comes in.
Right.
It's okay to be like, hey, this isn't working out. We have to break up. We have to end this. Mm-hmm. But to be, I don't think always a cheat, like, once a cheater, always a cheater. I do think he was once a cheater, and he still has a cheater's mentality.
Mm.
And I don't think he displayed that he got past a cheater's mentality.
And
that's why Charity was like, please, I want you so badly in the fantasy suite. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, right.
And he couldn't.
Yeah.
See, that's my 100%. Take on it is when he said, if you choose me and I choose you and all that, I agree with you that that's a government that's pretty easy to topple if you wanted to. To dig into it, but she was satisfied with that. And if he had just shut his mouth and said nothing and let it go from there, then she opens that envelope and they go up to that room and maybe he's playing in the championship game come August 21st. But instead he went on to say, will it be hard to cheat? Oh yeah, it'll be hard to cheat. And then at that point, that's when the coach in me was like, oh, okay, there goes the path to victory. It's not there anymore. There's no coming back from this. Because from that point, then that's when you're backpedaling, and that's when he just kept talking, and it got worse and worse, and it just avalanched on him. And to me, this is a cautionary tale about when you play exclusively slow tempo ball. Because Xavier, he's very measured and slow, and he likes to use up a lot of clock. And there are times when that's okay to do that. Like on your hometown date, for example, when the ball's in your court, you can play at a slow pace like that. But the players who are going to win championships, they know how to use up clock, but they also know how to play run and gun when the pressure's on. And Xavier never did that. He never pushed the tempo. He never went no huddle. And now look what happens. Charity puts the pressure on him, and she's grilling him, and he can't adapt. He doesn't know how to react.
Yeah, I guess my whole issue, and I want, okay, a couple things. I want the record to show that Duddy did a spit take when you said that, Wally, and it was pretty great. Second of all, just because my defendant is maybe a dum-dum, and has done reprehensible things in the past, shouldn't preclude him from, when telling the truth, be given the benefit of the doubt that he won't do those things again in the future. That's the whole point that I was making of, he says, you know, his idea to come out and say to her, listen, I know you have this trigger point. I cheated in the past. I want to let you know that. I want to unpack it with you. That was the right thing to do. From then on, he made...
Potentially.
He made bad... I think that's a good thing to do. And I was moderately taken aback with how Charity sort of jumped down his throat a little bit at first. And then eventually her line of questioning was reasonable and made sense. I was like, yeah, that's cool. In my mind, I was just worried from that point on for Charity. And I am for the rest of the season in our finals and everything. If one of these other guys brings up something similar, if she'll ever be able to get over that or in just the future. I know just from experience and talking to people and seeing relationships of friends of mine falter and relationships go really well is like you have to trust people.
But Zach, she sat back down at that table and she said, I admire you for being transparent and for taking accountability. Yes. All I need to hear from you is that you've learned from it and you're not going to do it again. And if he says to her, yeah, absolutely. Here are all the lessons I learned and here's why it's not going to happen again. Then yeah, I'm totally with you. But that didn't happen. Not even close.
You guys are not wrong. Every person deserves a rigorous defense. That's what I'm trying to do here. And I think it's probably not working.
That's fine. I want to talk about a different aspect of this piece. Uh-huh. Here's why I think it was, it might have been an intentional sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wasn't asked that question. He offered it up. And I see what you guys are saying, that there might be some nobility in coming forward with that type of thing.
For him just trying to be better, yeah. Uh-huh.
Maybe that's true. Maybe my own druthers, I think that there's a time and a place, and maybe that's something that gets discussed in the fantasy suite, or maybe that's something that, like, if I ask the question,
yeah,
I would expect truthfulness and transparency. But to volunteer it feels like it was done in a very clumsy way. I'll say that even before shit really hit the fan. I think that this is part of his answer was basically saying, like, I'm not ready for commitment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore, like, I'm letting you know this now so that you can pull the trigger and get rid of me.
He was bringing the ball home like I broke the window. Like, he punished me. You know, like, I did a bad thing. I guess so. My question then, Duddy, let's put the sabotage hat off. Let's take the tinfoil hat off for a second and say, like, he did care about getting the fantasy trees to charity and he thought it was just a good move. And you think it's a bad move. When is that a good move? When does he tell her? He cheated in the past. He has to tell her at some point. Does he go to Fantasy Suites and then tell her? You were saying he works it out in Fantasy Suites. That seems worse to me.
Well, no, because I think that that's something that, like, I don't know. So I kind of disagree, too, with the premise that, like, charity feels like once a cheater, always a cheater. Like, I don't know. Maybe this is a personal thing. Mm-hmm. Charity is especially sensitive, but I wouldn't not date someone because they cheated in the past.
Right.
I think that's crazy. Mm-hmm. I do think that I would not date someone if they said what Xavier said.
Right. Yes.
In response. But, like, so if I, and that's, I think, also, like, a normal.
Yeah.
That, like, comes up naturally in conversation during, you know, those stages of courtship, right? Sure. That she's going to field him that question eventually, yeah, especially because it's top of mind. And then he can say to her, yes, I have. Yeah. And then she can go, okay, let's unpack that. And he can go, yes, it happened. I was, you know, this X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. But I've learned from it. I will never cheat on you.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Exactly. That's how
no more buts.
That's
no,
how it should have gone. Yeah, yes. I agree.
Because I don't believe in that anymore. Right. I was weak, and that was wrong of me.
So before we get completely inundated with Zach, you have trash takes in the reviews and the comments. I want to say now I'm starting to really solidify what I think my initial maybe issue was. It was out of the gate. It felt to me like as soon as he put that forward with everything we've said, it was all crazy and kind of a dumb move, whatever. But he put that forward. At that moment, to me, Charity should have just sent him home because I think her mind is made up. Now, that's just me maybe projecting and you know, it's total conjecture. I admit that. It's total conjecture. But something happened in me watching the game last night that I said, Charity's not playing for the ring. Like, she's not going to get a relationship that is long-lasting out of this process. I'm sorry. She needs to, like, figure this stuff out and process through her past relationship because it's still affecting her so much that she will not be able to, even it doesn't matter who it is in the chair, if Dotton, like, doesn't let her look through his phone and that kind of behavior, I think she's going to be, like, she's going to have a hard time with it, and it's going to be trouble no matter what. Can she work through it? Yes. Can she go through, like, you know, couples therapy down the line and figure that out with Dotton, ostensibly? Dotton? Yeah. I'm not saying it's not impossible, but I think it's strange last night watching it. I was like, man, she has a lot of stuff still to, like, work through with that. It's pretty nuts.
Zach, I got some bad news for you. I still totally disagree with what you're saying. I thought,
yeah, that's fine. So, like, and that's fine. That's fine. And Charity, I know the trash. Send your trash takes. bachelorzonepodcast@gmail.com.
Because this is my thought on Charity, is that her regular season overall, I thought it was solid, if not great. She had some hiccups with Brayden that certainly influenced that. But Charity, this postseason, I think she's been phenomenal, and her game with Xavier last night, to me, that was her crowning achievement. I thought she did an exceptional job of handling that. She asked him all the tough questions, and she grilled him, and she didn't give him an inch, but also what I saw was a woman hearing him out and giving him space to answer the questions and being patient with him and giving him grace and, frankly, giving him every opportunity to stop hanging himself all the way until the final whistle. That poise, to me, especially in the postseason, it's rare for a lead to be poised like that. And the time that we've covered the show anyway, you don't see that often. Yeah. And the fact that she had that kind of poise, you call it aggressive, Zach. To me, I call it competitive fire, especially when, as you said, you have this guy in his pregame interview, and I'm looking at him like, can somebody get this guy a Red Bull? Like, he looks like he doesn't, like, even get a give a shit about being there anymore.
I agree. And that's, I started this whole thing by saying, what happened to Xavier? He doesn't care, right? He lost his own game. I'm not saying Charity was unfair to him by any means. I just felt pause and worry for Charity as someone who wants to see her get to the end of this and get a ring and, like, you know, be successful as a bachelorette and her legacy not to be tarnished by any nonsense in the post game, to just like, hey, maybe double, like, if this is such a triggering thing to you, like, do this conversation with everybody because we need to get this out of the way.
I will say there was, yeah, like, I'll agree that, again, like, right in that, when she, right in that initial segment, he tells her, and maybe like 10 seconds passes and she starts getting emotional. She starts crying and she needs to excuse herself to compose herself. Which I don't think there's anything wrong with that,
no.
But that you could argue is like maybe a more, I wouldn't even say extreme reaction, but like a reaction to that type of news. But also like it is, you know, that like it is triggering for her. That is a sore subject for her. It is, I think there was a moment of her not like hanging him or not immediately making up her mind, but having this very legitimized fear of here we fucking go.
Yeah. Really.
You know? And yeah, it turned out that that was exactly the journey he took her on, was like, here we fucking go. I have this mentality of like, you know, I'm going to cheat if things, you know, I'm a fair weather soldier. If things don't go right or I end up in a room with my buddies and, you know, like, here's the thing. Like, it's only, the thing that's scary about it is that he's going to get, you know, he's going to get Instagram followers, right? Like, he basically is admitting that it's not going to work for him because he's only going to get more temptation. Yeah. If he thought it was tough before with his buddies.
Right, if he wins this,
Yeah, imagine now.
Yeah,
he's going to go to all these parties. And imagine if it even, like, what's a world in which he, like, you know, becomes Tiger Woods or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's fucked.
The Tiger Woods
record to state. Yeah. Admitting. I want the record to state. He's got my marriage choked down. Like, the guy sucks, all right? I'm going to admit it. And I can't wait to see a men's tell-all when he gets the whole treatment, you know, in front of everybody and gets, you know, gets to rewatch the tape of the dumb mistakes he made. But, you know, I love that I opened this episode being like, we got a lot on the docket. We got to power through this. And we just spent 30 minutes talking about Xavier's.
Well, no.
And it's my trash take. It's my trash take that did it also.
It's not,
I
but honestly, I think it... I'm glad to fully explore how badly Xavier fucked up because I watched it and I was like, I can't believe this guy.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe
he's
saying this.
It was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. We're all in agreement here. I was just wanting to float a sense that I had, a gut feeling I had of, I was like, man, Charity is really affected by this.
But I bet a lot of people had that gut feeling, though. Like,
I
think that there were people who maybe are more going to take the side of, well, he is being forthright, he is being honest, and that's, you know, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I also think... bring it back to X's and O's.
Yeah.
I think from a gameplay standpoint, it was suicide.
It was hot trash garbage.
It was just bad bacheloring.
Yeah.
1,000,000,000%.
And I considered the fact that maybe it was a paradise play gone terribly wrong on his part.
Oh, wow. I could see that possibly now that you bring that angle. Man, he's gonna have a hard time in paradise.
I have one more thought and here's the ugliest thought. I don't know, like, there was an aspect of it near the end of the conversation. I almost wondered, is this actually him trying to go for the ring? Because he says to her, I'm going to need to see more.
Mm.
Like, this is a you chase me type of move.
That's when he super lost me.
He was like, I need to see more.
That's the dumbest thing you
could say. And then I think, again, this is maybe where people would... I can have agreement with him. Like, yes, the premise of The Bachelor is flawed, and The Bachelorette is flawed. It is crazy to go through an engagement with someone without having slept with them, without having, you know, some people do, you know, but without exploring certain aspects of them, be it sleeping together, being and having one-on-one time where there aren't cameras, totally makes sense that someone would want to say, I need to see more before I can commit to an engagement.
Yeah.
And that was like, it was like, he almost was like, yeah, let's still go to the fantasy suite. I still want to bang.
Yeah.
That's, you know? Yeah, I read it as him saying, like, if I'm going to make a firm offer here, I'm going to need some nipple to nipple time.
Yeah. It was insane.
Right. That was the sleaziest, grossest part of it.
That was tough, yeah.
Where I thought that was part of his pitch.
I was not in the, I was on the, fully in the defense attorney mode of like, this guy hasn't cheated on her. He's, you know, ostensibly maybe not going to cheat again. And then as soon as he said that, I'm like, this guy's going to probably fucking cheat on me. They get together. Like, at that point, I was like, this guy is probably a sleaze bag. No, I agree.
35 minutes later, you come around.
Trying to give him the fucking benefit of the doubt, all right? Fine.
Well, the time.
Sorry, everybody. Sorry, America. Sorry, everybody.
The timing of Xavier's departure was great news for Aaron, who took the long flight to Fiji on a whim that Charity might have a change of heart. But the bad news for Aaron is that the timing of his arrival also coincides with both Joey and Dotton putting together dominant efforts en route to earning uncontested L-bombs from Charity. So, guys, what do you think? Did Joey and or Dotton shut the door on Aaron's comeback hopes? Or are you saying there's a chance?
There's no chance.
There's no chance.
No chance, really?
I think no chance. I mean, if Joey didn't shut the door, then Dotton certainly did. You know, like, I feel like Aaron comes in and he lacks the confidence. There's something there between them. He knows that, right? But it's an offense that has a good running back, but no wide receiver. You know, like, there's some electricity there, but it's not. You're fooling yourself if you think you're elite.
To me, it felt like the XFL. It's like, yeah, sure, but why? You know, like, yeah, okay, sure, come on back and do something. Make a thing, yeah. Add trampolines, whatever you want to do. It's not going to, whatever, fine. We already have the NFL, it's fine.
Right.
You know, there's no need for this.
Well, in my mind, I agree with you that to say that Joey and especially Dotton took care of business and made it difficult for Aaron, that would be an understatement. I mean, both those guys were on fire. They were incredible at just the right time. I mean, Joey, he's coming in with these wrong reasons, accusations, thanks to his uncle. He nips it in the bud right off the bat in the first quarter, just like he had to, and then he pivots beautifully after that. And Dotton, aside from buttoning his top button at dinner, I haven't seen him make a mistake yet this entire time. Like, the guy, like, plays flawless ball. I don't know if he did this on purpose or not, but if he found out that Xavier said to Charity that my heart's saying yes, but my head's saying no, I don't know if there was a way of finding that out or not, but how clutch was that Dotton said, Charity, my head and my heart are totally aligned right now. I'm 100% into you.
That
was
the
timing
thing.
Of that particular statement was so clutch on his part. So, I mean,
it seems too good to be true. It seems like he had to have been fed that line, right? That's insane.
Well, that's actually the one thing that Charity said to the press that she is worried with Dotton, is that is this too good to be true?
Yeah.
You know, and I do think that's the one place where they could, you know, if there's one thing that clinches it on this show, it's overcoming adversity.
Yeah.
Right? It's having some sort of spat and then getting past it. And that, to me, like, I'm sorry, I'm not talking about Aaron B. anymore. I'm talking about, how can we find ways that Joey could win? Mm-hmm. And for me, it's that Joey and Charity have overcome a lot of adversity, right? They've had Joey's parents mishap. They've had the ATV breaking down. Like, it feels like every time Joey can't catch a break, yet he's able to spin it into gold.
Yeah.
He's able to take it and turn it to his advantage. Oh, the ATV's not working? Let's go on an unplanned, impromptu, like, scenic walk through the fucking swamp or whatever the hell, you know? But make it cool. You know, make it fun, make it feel unique to us. I think Charity responds well to that. Dotton has such a strong, commanding, like, traditional offense, though. And I feel like Joey has this gunslinger thing where he's running outside the pocket. He's throwing bombs. He's hoping something connects. But I do think that maybe if you know, you get the right type of situation next week and Joey responds, like, I think he still has a shot in this. Aaron, when he came back, he spotted Charity laying out by the pool. There was this moment, I don't know if you guys felt it, but I felt it, where I was, is Charity almost like, it's like we're in It right now, or like, or It Follows, it's different. But where she was like scrambling up the beach chair and was like, I have nowhere to cut. Do I just jump off? Yeah. You know, like,
yeah.
And then she was like, oh, Aaron, hey, let's hug and walk. And, you know, but I sensed the shock in her face, and you couldn't quite tell if it was good shock or bad shock.
I felt like it was annoyance shock to me. It was like, oh, yay, I didn't make enough stuff, you know what I mean? Like people come like, oh, you brought three of your friends instead of a plus one, like I asked. Like, it was that energy to me, you know what I mean? It was like an unprepared, like, she was put out by it.
Right.
She wasn't stoked.
I didn't see it that way. I saw it as pure, like, wow, I had no idea that this was a possibility. I can't believe it's playing out this way. I thought it was, Frank, I thought she was happy to see him. And the reason that I think I disagree with you guys that he has a shot here is because you have the top two in the AP polls basically having these master classes with their fantasy suite dates. And those are the kind of dates and the kind of situations where any other comers that approach, the lead says to them, you know what, thanks for coming, but I've developed stronger connections with other people now. When Aaron walked up, I was kind of expecting her to say that based on how well Joey and especially Dotton played. And she didn't say that. She's actively deciding to keep her around. And that combined with the fact that she's coming off of this date where she wasn't sure she made the right choice or not, then Xavier essentially proves to her that she made the wrong choice with his pathetic performance. That followed up by a guy flying halfway around you have this guy who's putting no effort into it. That juxtaposed with a guy who flies halfway around the world right after you weren't sure you made the right decision eliminating him in the first place. To me, that's a lot of momentum. That's the juxtaposition of that gives him a ton of momentum going to this championship round. And I agree with you guys that I have, if there's a way that Joey or Aaron can beat Dotton, I don't know what that is personally. I mean, Dotton, he plays mistake-free ball. He's just too good. But I think I don't think the door's entirely shut on it either.
I don't know, because, all right, I'll grant you this. Do you think they give Aaron a fantasy suite chance?
That's what I'm really curious to see. What does the schedule allow? Because if Charity has to decide right then and there, then I agree there's no chance. But if he has one more chance for all hands on deck, pull out the piano, FaceTime the family, whatever it takes, charm you one last time, if he gets one more shot at it, I think there's a chance.
Because here's the thing. When you are number one in the AP polls, mm-hmm. like a Susie, and then you go home, and then you come back, I think you have a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're three or four in the AP polls, and then you lose a week, and then you lose the most important week maybe in the schedule, which is fantasy suite weeks,
yeah.
I don't know how you come back from that. She's already been potentially intimate with these two guys.
Yeah.
So you're going to risk it all on a connection with the person you already sent home because he was number three in the poll. Like, it wasn't like they had a fight. And it was like, oh, me and Aaron are perfect for each other, but we had this one issue. There was no issue. There was nothing for him to fix. There's nothing for him to change. He's still coming with him with the same offense.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you coach him up to win this game?
I would agree with you if Charity said at the time, you know what, it was really difficult, but I 100% made the right decision. If that's what she had said after hometown, 1,000% I'd agree with you. But that's not what she said.
No. I think, with the schedule we have with the men's towel all next time, in the words of Kimberly Sweet Brown Wilkins, ain't nobody got time for that. Truly. Like, they're not going to put another, you know, fantasy suite on the schedule when all we have is men's towel all and finale. Unless the finale is going to be 6 hours long, there's no reason to give them that kind of time and take the time from the other two guys who are, like you said, just running the table, basically, especially with Dotton, you know? Although, looking at the previews of the next one, it's going to be a weird finale, I think. This one, like, I was upset by the way things went down a little bit in this after the Xavier thing. Not because of what we were talking about earlier, but just the fact that Lemma's like, man, it was like an unnecessary, you know, thing where he just, like, shot himself in the foot, like you're saying. And I was like, we haven't seen unnecessary shooting yourself in the foot like this during Fantasy Suite since last season. It seems like it's a thing that just happens every time now. We're just like overcomplicate things. This could have been a straight ahead fantasy suite. She could have made a decision. We're not even going to get a rose ceremony, I don't think.
Right.
You know,
this was a crazy one.
Yeah.
Wally, let me ask you this. You're saying Aaron has a chance, but if you were to bet on it, and I'm not doing a bet, I'm just gauging your confidence in this. would you bet that Aaron lasts another, I wouldn't even say like episode, I'd say a half episode. Do you think he makes it to like, to see, you know, do you think he makes it out of that pool?
I think Charity will have a conversation with him at a pedestal. And it won't be a good conversation for him that goes his way, but I do think he's getting a pedestal conversation.
Wow.
Okay.
So you're saying you're getting a, we're getting a real ceremony, but no fantasy suite. Is that correct?
He's going to get a, whether it's a fantasy suite date or not, I don't know, but I do think they're going to have at least one more one-on-one date together.
Wow.
Where she will take another very close look and give him a legitimate chance. And okay, here's another thing to think about. Our friend of the show, Bachelor Fan Take, pointed this out. In the trailer for a trailer earlier in the season, Charity's sitting down with her family and she says to her mother, I'm in love with all of them. If it were only a two-horse race, wouldn't she say I'm in love with both of them?
That's a good point. That's a good catch by Fantake, of course.
So you think then that we have three people meeting the family?
I think we have a three-horse race, three people meeting Charity's parents, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Dotton's going to win that, but I think... But I don't think put it in ink yet either.
After last night, and I don't want to fucking go back into this fucking lion's cage, I don't think we're getting a ring this season.
Really?
I don't think it's going to happen. No. I think Dotton is going to be on paper and Wikipedia the winner of this officially, and maybe, you know, technically speaking, I don't think there's going to be an actual Sarah. I don't think she's getting married from this process.
Well, okay, wait. You don't think she's getting married for this process, or do you think?
I don't think she's getting engaged for this process.
Okay, you think no one shows up or something happens?
I think something like that happened. I don't think we're getting a proposal.
Wow. No. Okay, that's a take.
Yeah.
I guess we move on with our lives now.
But before we move on, I got to remind you that there's still plenty of time left in the summer. And with summer still going strong, I want to take a second to talk about self-care. When it comes to making an impression, proper grooming is essential to looking and feeling your best when you walk into a room or onto the sand of the beach. That's why the sponsor of today's show, our good friends over at Manscaped, are committed to helping men all around the world walk and talk with some swagger this summer with the best grooming tools on the market. So join the 8 million men worldwide who trusted Manscaped and enjoy this offer, 20% off and free shipping with the code ZONE3 at manscaped.com. That's right. Don't neglect your beautiful self. Get right this summer by going to manscaped.com and using the code ZONE and the number 3 when you get there.
For the sleekest version of yourself, Manscaped has you covered from head to toe, starting with their brand new beard hedge trimmer. With one guard and 20 adjustable lengths, this device is the perfect travel companion fit to take care of your mane wherever you are.
Once again, Manscaped supports the Bachelor Zone. We just want to make that clear, okay? So much that they provided us with an exclusive offer to our listeners. Get 20% off plus free shipping, wowza, with the code ZONE3 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code ZONE3. Feel like yourself again and take charge of your life with Manscaped.
There's going to be a week off from fantasy leagues next week because of the All-Star game, but it's never too early to start thinking about Paradise. Who might be there when your fantasy draft coming up for Bachelor in Paradise? Who should be considering if you have that number one pick? Well, as always, he's here to help us out. Here's the talented Mr. Jose Max Singer with your Fantasy Minute.
Here he comes now, but my Max Singer, he's a fantasy pro. Gonna tell you who's playing for the ring, for the rose, or for the road. And he's got those hot takes and inside scoop that you're gonna need. So Max Singer, who do you like this week in fantasy?
While we wait and see how things conclude on the beaches of Fiji, it's another beach I have in mind for this week's Fantasy Minute, and the five men from Charity Season I want to see take to paradise. First up, it's Caleb B. This pro wrestler will suplex anyone who thinks a heel turn will extend their 15 minutes of fame. He's keeping villains off the beach. Speaking of villains, is there any doubt of Braden making a return to paradise? He's told us all about his travels and wanting to experience as much as he can while he's young, and paradise seems like a natural progression. I like a paradise rivalry continued, so let's go with Aaron B. His heart broken, let him mend it on the beaches of Mexico, where he could prove to be a hot commodity. Next we have James. From his family's apple orchards to La Playa, James may need a bottle of SPF 1000 to survive paradise, but he's such a sweetheart, I could see him making a real connection with someone on the beach. And finally, it's Gator Boat Captain. Hey, he deserves a vacation too after all those tours he leads in the swamps of Louisiana. Let him put his feet up and regale the cast with stories from his expeditions on the bayou. As we prepare to crown this season's champ on the Batch Live app, thank you to everyone for playing along with the Bachelor Zone this season. And as always, I'm the talented Mr. Rose, and this has been your Fantasy Minute.
Thank you, Max. This week's Fantasy Minute brought to you, as always, by the Batch Live app. Think you have what it takes to out-fantasy your favorite Bachelor Zone pundits? Download the Batch Live app on your smartphone and join our exclusive league for free today. Coming up next, we're going to be talking all things swats, deflections, box outs, and down hard, gritty defense. It's Steal of the Night.
This is the Steal of the Night.
Steal of the Night brought to you this week by Build-A-Man Workshops, the most love you'll ever make. So a little bit of housekeeping to attend to before we start. Last week we had a tiebreaker for both Steal of the Night and Mayor of Choketown. We were really interested to see what the fans had to say about it. We threw it up to you. And very interestingly, you both voted Joey's Uncle Joe for both Steal of the Night and Mayor of Choketown from Hometown Sweep.
Wow.
It's not often that the same person comes away with both awards, but Uncle Joe, he's along with presumably some tennis trophies, or maybe not, but now he's got that trophy, Steal of the Night and Mayor of Choketown from Hometown Sweep. Let's talk about Steal of the Night for this week. Some great offense and defense being played out there. We'll focus on the defensive side of the ball and have you kick it off, Zach. Who gets your Steal of the Night from this Fantasy Sweep week?
You know, we were just kind of pooping on the man, a la insult dogs. But I think it's got to go to Aaron B, for swooping in and cutting off what seemed to be a really invigorating conversation between Charity and those two faceless folks who were smart enough to keep themselves off camera while they're on vacation. It's pretty wild that there was no one else at the resort, just this like sweet couple from God knows where, and then they were probably just sitting by the pool. Charity came and sat there, then followed by four cameras. And they're just like, what's this now? And they probably explained it to her pretty quickly. And then they were probably asking her questions about, you know, God knows what. And it could have been a moment of them, like, because they didn't say they wanted to be on camera, they could have been like, what are you doing, Charity? You know what I mean? Be like, what is this? You seem like a nice girl. They're probably from, like, Holland. I'm just going to say they're from Holland for my brain's sake. And they'd be like, what are you doing, Charity? Like, this seems stupid, yeah? Like, you actually going to be with these guys? And she was probably like, I never thought about it like that. And then Aaron comes up and saves his day. We could have had a different time. You know, I want to see that multiverse where Aaron didn't walk up and that conversation ended.
Right.
You know?
And you think that Charity was being persuaded into
to walk
quitting
off the show. Yeah. It's possible. You can't say it's not possible. So, yeah, it's got to go to Aaron B for that reason.
Yeah, even if this comeback attempt of Aaron B's blows up in his face and goes nowhere, at the very least, he cut off small talk by the pool.
Yeah, butterfly effect.
Yep.
You never know. You never know what that small talk could have turned into.
And that's something you can never take away from him. One vote for Aaron there. Duddy, who gets your vote for Steal of the Night this week?
Well, Aaron B for sure gets my furthest traveled for a steal, but it's not my Steal of the Night. My steal is going to the Bachelor previews. Or the men's tell-all previews, more specifically. Normally, any type of preview from this show, I just immediately tune out. I feel like it's, you know, just horseshit. Just trying to manipulate my emotions in the most rudimentary ways that, like, a preschooler couldn't fall for, you know, the level of just reality TV. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so transparent what they're trying to do. But this week they actually piqued my interest. Mm. This week they got me, specifically the moment where they show the tell-all and they have Xavier right on the couch with, Charity, and he walks off and they frankenbite it, make it sound like he's walking off in a huff. I have no idea if that's true. It could just be, you know, a random camera angle of just routine, okay, we're done with this shot, thank you, stand up, you know. But the way they present it made it seem like he gets so rankled that he leaves the set.
Yeah.
And I was interested. I was like, holy shit, I want to see what's going on.
That's, you know where Duddy's gonna be Tuesday at 8 next week,
actually paying attention. And I'll say that, like, again, I hate the previews. I hate the men's tell-all. That's probably my least favorite episode for us to cover. I am super interested, and I will piggyback off that because there's one more element that I'm actually interested in sticking around for the men's tell-all, and that's our Golden Bachelor.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Gary.
good job, Bachelor promo team. You finally got me.
Yeah.
I hope that maybe I am reflective of some sort of sample size of other Bachelor viewers as well.
I'm going to say that I also feel that way. And on top of those two things you said, Dark Brayden. Fully bearded Dark Brayden is another thing that piqued my interest, even though I hate the man.
He's gone full Zero suit, or, you know, he's gone full,
Zorro? Are you pulling Zorro right there?
I was thinking of Samus.
Oh, wow.
Just,
okay.
You know, just alt forms.
Gotcha.
Getting really nerdy, but.
Sure.
Yeah. The next week on the Bachelor promos, for me, it's like high heat, where I know I'm not supposed to swing at it, but I fall for it every single time. I just can't resist. And I feel like an idiot. I keep thinking, like, when are you going to learn? And I never learn. They get me every time. And once again, they've got me this week. I'm with you, Daddy. I'm really interested to see what this heavily manipulated footage is all about when we get to the All-Star game next week. My steal of the night, we talked about how great he was on offense. Just as good on the defensive end. Let me ask you guys this. When you hear the phrase Prince Charming, of the three guys remaining, who looks closest to whatever image just popped in your head?
Dotton.
I mean, really? Height-wise, Dotton. Yeah, I mean, I know where you're going with this, that Joey seems more like...
He's got the classic puppy dog Prince Charming look about him.
He's more of a pretty boy, but... Yeah. And also, for, like, horrible racially conventional reasons, he's, like, maybe what, like, a storybook would have pre-year 2000.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay,
but where
Joey,
are you going with this, Wally?
Yeah, so
maybe we're the wrong people to ask. Let's pretend we said the right answer.
I feel like most people would say Joey because of his Prince Charming's depiction in Disney and pop culture.
Sure.
And the reasons for that are very heavy conversation for a different podcast on a different day. But I thought it was very clutch on Dotton's part to say to Charity, both in the first half and the second half, this love story we have, Charity, it's like a fairy tale. I never thought that fairy tales were meant for me. But you're making me feel like I'm in a fairy tale. In other words, I'm Prince Charming, not Joey, not anyone else. Look at me. I am Prince Charming now. We are the love story. We are the fairy, the fairy tale romance that people want. And the fact that he cornered the fairy tale market last night and all the property that comes with that, including Prince Charming, that to me kind of blocked off one of Joey's last remaining avenues that he has to try to have the edge on him. So that's why I'm going with Dotton for Steal of the Night. For the second consecutive week, we've got a three-way tie here. We need your help solving it. Who gets your steal of the night for this Fantasy Suites week? Let us know on our Instagram, on our TikTok, any way you can get a hold of us. Can't wait to hear what you have to say and help us break the tie. But there's something that I can tell you for sure, that microdosing, it's all sorts of people are microdosing every day to feel healthier and perform better. If you don't know what it is, it's that just right feeling when your body and mind are really at peace, like after a workout or a nice long shower, when you're relaxed, focused, and a little energized. Microdosing helps you get in that zone easier and stay there longer, and that's exactly where I like to be.
Yeah. You know, microdosing gummies do exactly what you want them to do. You know me, I'm not really a big weed head anymore. Back in the day, I definitely was known to toke a little bit in college years, you know, being from SoCal. SoCal surfer guy over here. I like the fact that I can do just half a gummy and it's the perfect dose to help me relax. And I don't feel like I'm ripping a bong, dude. You know what I mean? I'm not getting all goosey goosey, you know?
I do know what you mean.
I'm just kind of laying low and feeling relaxed and taking the edge off of my anxiety, and I can function. I'm not just totally couch locked, as the kids would be saying.
They say that, but they also say this: microdose is available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use code ZONE3 to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description, but again, that's microdose.com, ZONE3.
So it's a great night for you because you get those deals from our friends at Manscaped and with microdosing over our friends at Lumi Labs there, but it's not a great night for
you. Yeah, you can get like pleasantly stoned and shave your nutsack.
If you fall into that very specific Venn diagram center, it's a great night for you. But it's not a great night for everybody because not everyone handles the pressure Fantasy Suites week well. And so we're going to be talking about that next as we hand out the key to the city that nobody wants to go to in Mayor Choketown. Mayor Choketown brought to you this week by Fiji Waterfalls, now chaseable. So, as we said, there's a lot of great play out there at Fantasy Suites Week, but not from everybody. DA, I'll start with you. Who gets your keys to the city of Choketown for Fantasy Suites Week?
Well, I think there's one obvious answer on this list, but I do remember a time that one time I came on this podcast and I had a bad take, and somehow I ended up as the mayor of Choketown.
Yeah.
And I feel to myself, you know, we could nominate Xavier.
Right. I'm going to.
But I'm going to nominate Zach
All
Pike.
Right. Yeah.
For coming on and his initial defense of his bad take. One, I don't mind a bad take, Zach. You do it all the time.
Yeah.
But what got me was your initial defense of the take was, oh, I might have been playing Diablo while I was watching.
I need to multitask through the commercials, all right?
If you were somehow Xavier's defense attorney, and you show up in court and you go, oh, I kind of wasn't really reading the brief. I might have been playing The Legend of Zelda.
Right.
I think you'd have to be disbarred.
Yeah, maybe.
You are my mayor of Choketown. We'll see what the people think. But failing that, it should be Xavier. Mm-hmm.
So in a huge upset, we've got one vote for Zach Johnny Cochran Pike. Zach, I'll give you a chance for a rebuttal here.
Oh, man. No rebuttal. I'm going to give it to Xavier because he really did screw the pooch on that one. I tried my best to be a defense attorney for him. And in defending him, I realized how bad he was and how dumb of decisions he made. Even if his heart was maybe in the right place to start with, he screwed the pooch. He said the dumbest things you could possibly say to a woman who is insecure about being cheated on. So, yeah, good job there, Xavier. Can't wait to see you try to talk to people in paradise.
Yeah, when I was watching this episode last night, it was one of those Choketown performances that make me look ahead to the Batchy Awards, because I was thinking to my earlier this season, I said, oh, there is no way that Warwick won't win the Batchy this year for Mayor Choketown, because that was just so stunningly bad. But Xavier was on that level last night, just the way that he self-combusted. It got worse and worse the more that he kept talking. And the final thing he said, where he says to her, maybe I should have put more thought into that answer I just said. Like, that quote is on the town sign you're crossing into Choketown. So
That's true. This performance
from Xavier, I never thought I'd see a guy dig himself into such a deep hole and dig himself deeper and deeper as the minutes went on. But then at about 7:15 Eastern time on Tuesday, August 8th, I saw a man with an even bigger shovel dig an even deeper hole for himself right here in this podcast in Zachary Pike. I'm breaking the tie. I'm sorry, Zach. I'm giving you Mayor Choketown this week.
Wow.
The upset is official.
Dang. Well, you know,
if the glove fits.
All right. Yeah, we'll move on from this. Well, thanks, guys. It's an honor. And I think this wouldn't be the show it is if some of us hadn't spent some time in that beautiful city. Choketown.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, we need to visit, see the constituents, see how things are done there. Yeah, so I think that's...
See the constituents? Yeah. So wait, now we're the representatives for Choketown all of this? All right. We don't need to unpack this anymore. Yeah, great. Love to see it.
Well,
going to go on a nice little vacation this weekend.
Well, let's unpack what the future holds in this competition. Dotton and Joey are definitely still around. Aaron is maybe still around. One more desperation shot at it. Who's thriving? Who's merely surviving? And who's driving on the 710 to Pasadena? It's Ring Rosa Road. Ring Rosa Road brought to you this week by Salamanders. Raise the roof. So the AP polls are out this week. Aaron, he's still alive. He's living on a prayer there at number 3. Zach, as our most recent Mayor Choketown winner, I'll give you a chance to bounce back and kick us off in this segment here. Is Aaron playing for the Ring the Rose of the Road?
Oh, we're halfway. No, he's not. He's not at all. He's not. He doesn't have a prayer. I think it's going to be one of those things where they just needed, it's for editing purposes. They needed a cliffhanger, and that provided one. They spent, you know, $2,500 on a Fiji Air ticket out of Lindbergh Field, which I'm excited that got some love. It's a great airport that they've done a lot of work on the last couple of years. It's actually, you need a special license to fly into that airport because it's so dangerous, because you fly right over the buildings in downtown. Anyone flying into San Diego knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, he's going home in the first 5 minutes of the next episode, just so they could be like, oh, yeah, yeah, about that thing that we set up. Yeah, that's not happening. See you later. All right, let's do our finale now. You know what I mean? That's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
I also think the same. 5 minutes in, mm-hmm. It's over.
Maybe Paradise. Could be a Paradise guy.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him until the second hour. I do think there's more of a chance than you guys are giving him credit for. My caveat for that is if the schedule doesn't allow for him to have more one-on-one time with her, then yeah, within the first 5 minutes. But if he is allowed a date, I think he's going to linger. I'll give him like a 10. I'll give him the softest of roses, but a rose nonetheless. At number two, we've got Joey. He's coming off of a great date. Gets his number two spot back in the rankings this week after being number three last week. DA, is he playing for the ring, the rose, or the road?
I think he's playing for the rose. Fantasy Suite week's tough. We do a lot of, like, we become body language experts, and we watch them, mm-hmm. how they're looking at each other in bed, and, you know, what, right. You know, like, take our detective glasses out, our magnifying glasses out, and we're like, oh, is there any fucking cum stains all over right. here? What, you know, what's going on? I kind of felt like, you know, there was definitely a vibe. They definitely had a good time. But Joey had one of those things where after, you know, they wake up and he has Charity on his arm and he's kind of looking up at the ceiling, right? He's kind of like, ah, oh, what a night. See you later. But Dotton, when they wake up, it's just direct eye contact. They are still yeah. there in that yeah. moment. They are just cuddled up together, like staring at each other. There is a deep connection between them that I just don't think Joey was able to manifest. So for me, he's getting my rose. I don't think this is even a 2-horse race. I think this is just Dotton's game.
Yeah.
I'll still give him, I agree with what you're saying for the most part, but I'm still going to give him a rose because the good news for him is there are seasons where connections as strong as what he clearly has with Charity would be strong enough to win the title. I mean, if Juan Pablo had a connection as strong as what Joey and Charity have right now, whoever that is would have smoked Nikki and Claire out of the water, would have been a done deal. So sure. like the connection is strong enough to be a championship connection. Again, I can't imagine a way where he can beat Dotton one-on-one if Dotton's playing at his best, which he just always seems to be. But if Dotton has cold feet or if he runs out of gas, which we have seen from top contenders before who just run out of steam with the target being on their back the whole time, if either of those things happen and he's still playing his best ball, we've got a championship connection here. And he's walking away with the final rose and maybe even a ring. So I think there still is a chance for him. But it's really looking like number one, Dotton has a stranglehold in this thing. Zach, I'll give you the final word. Ring, rose, or road?
For Joey?
For Dotton.
Oh, ring.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this puppy up. I mean, I said I want to caveat because people are going to be like, wait, Zach, you're contradicting yourself because you said there's no proposal. In the terms of the game, I think Dotton is going to get to the end of this season. Whether or not that means Charity is ready to, you know, be proposed to, all that stuff. If someone is going to propose and I'm wrong about my hunch, which is 1,000,000% possible, probably more probable of a scenario, Dotton is the one getting down on one knee, 100%.
Yeah.
There's no way around it.
Yeah, yeah. Charity, she loves Joey. She said so herself that she loves Joey,
yeah.
But she's cuckoo for Dotton Puffs. Like it's
yeah, I haven't used this comp yet in the 8 years that we've been on the air. But I think I can say it for Dotton. He's played such a perfect game. I thought it last night and put it down in my notes. He reminds me of that like robot drive and poise that young Tom Brady had. Just like that sense
that.
Of just like, I am a football machine. I'm here to do football. You know what I mean? Like yeah. He just has that sense of like, I'm truly, like I remember then in the almost, you know, lossless season, like that energy was like, this guy is just a computer. Like he's a computer person. Like he's just made to do this. And I felt that with Dotton last night, and I thought you'd appreciate that, Wally.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Maybe I'll rescind your mayor chokedown vote that I gave you because I really enjoyed that. No, that's not going to happen. But I agree with the player comp that this whole season, Dotton has looked like Brady with a minute left on the clock and a ball in his hands where it just feels like a done deal. We mentioned how there's been the narrative a little bit of like, is Dotton too good to be true? I could see that kind of thing being in play if we had a younger, more insecure bachelorette, like a Hannah Brown, perhaps. Someone who's more likely to get in their head because they haven't been there and done that. Charity, to me, she's just too poised, too mature to fall for something like that. So that's why I think Dotton is playing for the ring, just like our fans, who we love you so much. Thank you so much for supporting us every week, listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. We're there waiting for you, and we'd love to have you join. Thank you so much for leaving a rating for us, leaving a 5-star review, telling the people what you like about the show, telling your friends about us. We work really hard to make this the best show that we can and make this the best Bachelor podcast out there. And your support helps us so much in the way that we grow and improve as a show. And we can't thank you enough. Very special thanks to Scott and all our beloved patrons over at patreon.com. Again, that's where you get Left Unsaid, our exclusive bonus content, where we get into all the hot topics that we don't have a chance to cover on the main feed. We got into a lot tonight, but there's going to be even more over there as we talk about our Duddy and I get into our jujitsu battles that we have, some talk about Gabby, Wendy, Caitlin, and Jason. All that's popping on patreon.com/TheBachelorZone. We'll see you there. Hope to see you in our inboxes as well on Instagram and TikTok. Our handle is @BachelorZonePod. By email, we are thebachelorzonepodcast@gmail.com. Always love hearing from you, and we enjoy getting back to you, and we tend to do it pretty quickly. The Batch Live app, so the people who run that app, they're based out of the Northeast, where there were some like major storms bordering on tornadoes last night. I think it's still going on today. So they haven't quite updated the app for this week. So I'm going to hold off on reading the top five.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I can't wait to see the results, though, because I saw that the top three each picked a different person last night. So it's going to be there's probably going to be a shuffling in the ranking. It's going to be very close. I have no idea who's going to walk away with this t-shirt right now. It feels like anyone's game in that top five or so. I might even have a shot at it. I'm lingering at number six right now. And I picked Joey, which I think was a good move.
That would seem wild if you got the t-shirt.
Yeah, but just send myself a t-shirt.
You're sitting on the pile of t-shirts and you just grab yourself a t-shirt off the pile.
I think you should wear it with pride.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you'd be the winner, you know. We should make a special t-shirt for the championship. I know E-Boggs is going to be like, what the hell? I have three regular athletes.
Right.
But like, we should make a design that's like this is the Batch Live champion.
My dresser's filled with the Batch Zone logo right now.
Yeah. Also, our hopes go out to well wishes go out to the Batch Live folks. Hope the weather doesn't, you know, gets better for you guys and everyone's okay over there.
Yeah, I think everything's fine so far, but sending our best wishes with the storms in the Northeast happening. Rain or shine, storm or not, we'll be here next week to cover the All-Star game. Can't wait to have you join us for that. Until then, for Zachary Pike and Daniel A. Duddy, I'm Michael Wally, and this is The Bachelor Zone.